Let's not forget how great and awesome our God is and all the benefits. Let me ask you, when the storm was approaching, how many people believed that God answers prayers? And so you prayed. You didn't say, well, I'm not sure about this. How many actually prayed that the storm would be pushed further away? How many prayed for protection? How many prayed for your neighbors for their protection too? And for your loved ones as well? We want to give thanks to the Lord for His mercy. There's a traditional prayer that you say in thanksgiving to God when you go through some difficult challenge and you survive it. When women go through childbirth, when people journey on the water and come back safely, when you're faced with a storm and you survive. I'll read the English and you repeat after me. It's a good prayer. Blessed are you.
Blessed are you.
Lord our God.
Lord our God.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who bestows good things on sinners.
Who bestows good things on sinners.
And has bestowed on me every goodness.
And has bestowed on me every goodness.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Eloheinu melech haolam.
Eloheinu melech
haolam. Hagomel.
L'chayavim tovot.
Shegmalani. Kol tov. And we say, Lord, we're sinners, but you bestowed on us goodness. Thank you, Lord. It's not because we deserved it. It's not because we earned it. It's not because we learned how to pray the right prayer or we had the right talisman of any kind. It's because God is merciful. He's gracious. He shows us love beyond what we deserve. And He's the one who initiates love. You can be seated if you want to. You don't have to, but you can. You know, many believers don't know what to do with Yom Kippur. For Messianic Jews, we have to know what to do with it. And I'll tell you what to do with it. We celebrate Yom Kippur. We keep Yom Kippur. Now, we don't necessarily do it the way everybody else does it. Craig Wagner sent me a news link. You know, in California, one of the Chabad synagogues had an injunction against them because they were going to do kaparos, where you take chickens. Behold the chicken of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it's California, so an animal rights group took notice of this. Now, who knows, it could have been some of its own members. And they sought an injunction and were granted an injunction so that the Chabad synagogue could not, right before Yom Kippur, do the chicken ceremony. Now, Chabad fought that, and the injunction was lifted right before Yom Kippur. So then Chabad had this new dilemma, and they said, well, we don't know if we are going to do it. Our religious freedom is important. Our First Amendment rights are important, but we're not sure we're going to do it. I don't know whether, did they do it or not? We don't know. We'll tell you next week. And there's something to think about in all of this. The ceremony, kaparos, there's no biblical foundation for it. However, there is a yearning, and I want to really underline this. Why would Jewish people who are feeling like if they go to the services, the Yom Kippur services, if they come with some humility and with some willingness to pray and to be repentant. Why would Jewish people who are feeling, well, this will get atonement for me, why would they not be satisfied that it will actually do that? And I'll tell you why. It's because in the Jewish heart and in the Jewish mind is a memory of what our forefathers went through, what our ancestors went through, all the things that are described in Torah about Yom Kippur, and how we as a people would gather together and we would fast and we would pray and we would humble ourselves and we would come to the temple and look and hope that the sacrifice would be sufficient. And we learned that there's no atonement without blood. And so there's this question, is the blood sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord? And there was that yearning and there was that joy, that relief when it was clear that it was acceptable. And not only was it a relief, but it released joy into the people, just as our recounting the benefits of the Lord released joy into us. But there were times when the sacrifice was not received, where the Lord considered it unacceptable. There were times when the high priest was not acceptable in God's eyes. And how many of you remember the nervous tension and anticipation that you felt when you heard the forecasts of a Category 4 storm coming our way? And you remember wondering, what would it be like? What will it be like? And wondering, are you prepared enough? How many can still remember those feelings from just a few days ago? Can you? Well, imagine on Yom Kippur having those same kinds of feelings, but not about a hurricane, not about that kind of storm, but those feelings about peace with God and a right relationship with God and being aware of one's own sin. I mean, can you imagine being the high priest and going into the Holy of Holies and wondering, had you repented enough? Were you really sincere? One of the customs was to put bells on the high priest's garment so they could hear if they were ringing. Because if they were ringing, it meant, you know, he still could be moving. Another one was to tie a rope to him so they could pull him out if the Lord would smite him because he was not worthy to come before him. You can't say everybody wanted to be the high priest. But there was such relief and such joy when repentance was acceptable to the Lord, when atonement was acceptable to the Lord. But all of that became very unstable in the generations before Yeshua came. During the lifetime of Yeshua, sometimes the sacrifice was acceptable, sometimes not. And in the prior generation, it was always received. But after Yeshua, it was never again received. This according to Talmud. And there was a transition that was happening. There was a change that was happening. The Messianic Jews continued to come to the temple, but they started developing understanding what's going on. And they realized Yeshua has become the Kippur. So you see, even though there is alive in the Jewish people a desire right now and a recognition and a need for blood sacrifice as expressed by the Chabad group, some yearning for that, some recognition, even that will not produce the result that is being hoped for. What brings real peace between us and God? It's humbling ourselves before Him. And it's accepting God's work on God's terms, how he does what he does. I don't know if you've raised children who have been a challenge. Have you ever had? I don't know if you were a child who was a challenge. How many parents can say amen to that about you? Maybe you can remember a time when a child, either you or one of your children, just went off defiantly, ignored everything that you wanted them to do, refused your instruction, got themselves into trouble. How many got yourselves into trouble? You were one of these. How many, your children may be present, I'm not going to ask you. Maybe they covered it up, tried to hide it. I was from a group of teenagers. We considered certain kinds of misbehavior very acceptable. But what was not acceptable was getting caught. And those friends of ours who did the same things or lesser things than we did and got caught, we would just think they're not very clever. That was not wise. That was not a good attitude. But just not getting caught is not what makes things all right. It's not what brings peace to you. Not within the family, that's for sure. And not within the family of God. And there's a certain point, maybe you remember this, when you just wished, let this child just stop and understand they need us and they need parenting. They need help. They can't fix it just on their own. If they do what they think is right, it won't work. There was a time when the Lord said about Israel, everyone was like that. Everyone just did what was right in his own heart. And you know what that means? They weren't looking to the Lord to define, to settle the question, what is good and what is right. And I think when we are coming on Yom Kippur, we have to remember that really we're like those children and we went away from God. Now, I hope you've started your return to the Lord. I hope you're making distance on this journey and getting close to the Lord. This is a time when we take stock and we say, okay, Lord, where am I? Am I being honest with you? Am I being humble with you? And am I looking to you to pour out your grace and your power to make me new so I can live in a different way than I have been living? A chicken is not going to help you. I like chicken, but not for sacrifice. For that matter, the blood of animals will not help you right now. And just fasting and praying won't make all the difference in the world. Where will you get your sacrifice? That is the question. Where will you get it? And you need to have an answer for that. You must come before God on Yom Kippur with a sacrifice. Now, the sacrifice that is acceptable is the one that was provided for you, not the one that you provided. As Rabbi Uri taught us last night, it's important to live a sacrificial life. But I can tell you, this is built upon trusting God who has given the sacrifice for your sins. Now, we're living in a time, and I say this knowing it'll be offensive to almost everybody. That's my job. right? We're living in a time where it's so easy to find fault with the other side, whatever that other side is. Different kinds of believers or people you don't even think are believers. Different political groups or factions. People who have a different bumper sticker than you would have. And it's easy to fall into a sin that you may not recognize is serious before God, the sin of causeless hatred of your neighbor. Sinat chinam, freely hating. And when you only judge others according to their faults and you only examine yourself according to your strengths, you will always look better than them. And you will never be in a right position with God by doing that. When we were reading through Al-Chait, I was looking for the sins that were particularly troubling for me. The other day, I discovered one of those. I have a neighbor that really doesn't like us. As a matter of principle, as a matter of religious commitment, they refuse to even acknowledge that we are human beings. And I think they're kind of cranky. Yesterday, someone who knows them and us told me a story I didn't know, that they lost one of their children. They had twins early in their marriage. And when they were very young, one of the twins somehow reached into a bucket of water and fell in and drowned. And the person who was telling me this said, this is why the mother is just always troubled. She can't get over it after all these years. And you see, I was thinking it was just being religious or hateful or being cranky or mean. But it turned out that they've suffered something that I have not suffered. And so when we were going through Al-Chait, and there was one of the confessions of sin for what we've done towards our neighbors, I thought, well, I'm guilty of that. Because I'm guilty of judging my neighbor in the wrong way. And it never even occurred to me to pray for their healing, because I didn't know. It did occur to me to think too little of them. Maybe some of you can identify with that. We're living in a time where people think if you can point out the flaws of the other side, you're actually better than them. Now, Yeshua had something to say about this. He said, you're reaching for a splinter and you've got a log. You've got a branch in your own eye. Now, from the storm, everybody knows what branches look like. You can't drive in my neighborhood without seeing a bunch of them. So imagine what Yeshua was saying. He's saying, there's a little speck, and you're making a big deal out of it in your brother's eye. And there's actually a branch stuck in your own. You're walking around with a branch. Get the branch out of your own eye, and then look at the other person differently. But we're living in a time where it's considered to be a strength to have sinat chinam, to question everything about someone who disagrees with you. And I just want to tell you, this was one of the reasons, according to the sages, that the temple could not stand because of causeless hatred. The Messianic Jewish community, they rejected that causeless hatred. They welcomed every kind of Jew. They welcomed Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots, tax collectors, Greek-speaking Jews, Hebrew-speaking Jews, those who were well-educated and those who were amha'aretz, uneducated. They welcomed them all. And what brought them unity was knowing who was the Kippur. Who was the sacrifice? And knowing what their trust was based on. It wasn't just theological, it was an absolute certainty that Yeshua had died and that he had risen from the dead. And then he had ascended to heaven. And then he'd poured out his Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit of God in these Talmudim changed them and the way that they related to everybody around them. So they weren't partisans anymore. They were trying to put off that sin of sinat chinam. They were trying to embrace each other. I want to encourage us to do the same. Find a reason to show respect to people. Find a reason to take care of a hungry person. Find a reason to help someone who's downtrodden, who's going through a rough time and can't get themselves out of it. Find a reason to bring food to someone that needs it. Find a reason to be kind to a stranger and a neighbor. Find a reason to visit a prisoner. Because when you do that, you know what? You're entering into the fast that the Lord has chosen, that Isaiah 58 fast, that chosen fast where you're spending yourself on behalf of others in the way the Lord spends himself on behalf of you. And when you do that, all the religious issues that can entangle you and seem to be so significant, they reorganize. And you start seeing Yeshua in a different way. Yeah, he went to the Samaritans. He went to the prostitutes. He went to the tax collectors. He went to all these different kinds of folks. And he told them, come, you who are heavy laden, come. Cast off your burdens. Because there's good news for you. And he knew he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the whole world. He's the remedy for everyone. Now, you may be here today. You may be listening on the podcast at another time, and you're saying, well, I'm not sure what I believe. I want you to make it simple for yourself. Switch that to, I am sure who I believe. And start believing God and his testimony and his promises. Start believing Torah. Start believing the Brit HaChadashah. Start believing the prophets of Israel who told us there is a new covenant coming and God would write Torah on our hearts and on our minds and he would forgive our sins. Where then is my sacrifice? It's in Yeshua. God came down. He became a kinsman redeemer, and he became a priest of a whole other order. And to do that, he took on human flesh, and that flesh we killed. But he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and because of that, we actually have a Kippur. We have an atoning sacrifice that covers all of our sins. Now, it's not enough to think positively about Yeshua. It's important to come to a decision. And at Yom Kippur, we know it's not enough just to think correctly about our sin. We have to confess our sins, and we have to confess our faith as well. And so I want to invite you, if you've never said, Lord, I repent of my sins, and I trust you, Lord, and the sacrifice that I need, it's not a chicken, it's not another animal, it's the sacrifice you provided through your son. And in Messiah Yeshua, I have the blood sacrifice that makes atonement for me. Give me new life, Lord. It's important to talk to God like that at a time like this. Let me pray with you and for you. Lord, I thank you that you're willing to cleanse us of unrighteousness, that you have shown your love to us before we even started loving you. Before we were knit together in our mother's womb, you knew us, and you died for us, Yeshua, even when we were enemies to you. But Lord, this is a day of turning, and this is a day of Kippurim. This is a day of atonements for our sins. And once for all, you have become the perfect sacrifice for us, once for all. And now, we pray, Lord, thank you for salvation in Messiah. Thank you for new life. We dedicate ourselves to serving you with all of our hearts. In Yeshua's name. If today is a day that you've decided to follow Yeshua, tell someone who knows you. Don't keep it a secret. Tell me, tell Rabbi Uri, tell others, and tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I just want to be straight with you. This is what I've done. And as you do that, the joy of the Lord will become strength to you. It will become great power to you. And you will rejoice. One of our traditions during the high holidays is to receive special offerings for the mercy ministries of this congregation. And we learn from Isaiah 58 that fasting just for our own pleasure is not enough. Now, how do you fast for your own pleasure? You're fasting for what you're going to get out of it. But it's important to have a different attitude. It's also, it's useless, according to the prophets, to just go through the motions of fasting and say, yeah, what does it matter anyway? You know, this world stinks, nothing's going to change. But I tell you what, when you fast, you want to fast believing God is able to make changes in you and in the world around you. And he is able to protect you, and he's able to guide you, he's able to lead you. And one of the things he wants of us is that we would use this time of fasting for the right purposes. Let me read to you what Isaiah says. This is from David Stern's translation. Is this the sort of fast I want, a day when the person mortifies himself? Is the object to hang your head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under yourself? Is this what you call a fast, the day that pleases the Lord? Here's the sort of fast I want, releasing those unjustly bound, untying the thongs of the yoke, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke, sharing your food with the hungry, taking the homeless poor into your house, clothing the naked when you see them, fulfilling your duty to your own kin. And then verse 8, Isaiah 58:8, and then your light will burst forth like the morning. Your new skin will quickly grow over your wound. Isn't that great? You'll actually start healing. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will follow after you. You'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry and he'll say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, you stop false accusations and slander, you generously offer food to the hungry and meet the needs of the person in trouble, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like noon. The Lord will guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs even in the desert. He'll renew the strength in your limbs so that you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You'll rebuild the ancient ruins, raise foundations from ages past, and be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets to live in. If you hold back your foot on Shabbat from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call Shabbat a delight, Oneg Shabbat, the Lord's holy day worth honoring, then honor it by not doing your usual things or pursuing your interests or speaking about them. If you do, you'll find delight in the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll make you ride on the heights of the land and feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so when you take the money that you would have spent on the food that you would have eaten, and you contribute that, then you can always answer the question, where am I going to get the money to give to the poor? Well, fast a little bit more. So at the very least, we can dedicate our grocery budget in this way in order to help us together feed the hungry, provide benevolence and help to those in need, and do the works of mercy ministry as a community. But you can do more than that. How do you know what to give at a time like this? You give according to how God stirs you and according to the ability that you have and according to the measure that he's blessed you. This is the traditional way of giving for mercy. Now, because we had the hurricane this past weekend and we didn't have Shabbat services and we didn't receive tithes and offerings, we will also receive your tithes today. Some people are wondering, can I give tithes today and give special offerings to the Mercy Ministry? The answer is yes, of course. Of course you can. If you're giving tithes today, please mark it as tithes. If you're giving offerings for the Mercy Ministry, please indicate that too. And you can also give online at through our website at BethIsraelNow.com and the Giving Fire link. We also have PayPal available. And if you're not prepared to give today but you want to give later, you can do that as well. But I do encourage you, and I say this just in the simplest and most practical of ways, don't take the tithe you were going to give on past weekend and then turn it into your offering for the Mercy Ministry. Let your tithes be your tithes. Let your mercy offerings be your mercy offerings. And keep them simple and straight. So I want to invite the ushers to come forward so that we can receive our tithes and we can receive as well our offerings. Lord, we thank you for provision, and we want to honor you with a full tithe. We want to bring to you that full 10%. And we say to you, Lord, thank you for taking care of us. And we want to take care of your house and provide in your house. And Lord, we also want to thank you for the blessings you've given us and the means that you've given us so that we can provide food for the hungry, and we can provide help for those in need, and we can visit prisoners, and we can do the works of mercy ministry as a congregation. And so we bring these two to you, Lord, and we say, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Ushers, you can receive the tithes and the offerings. Joshua Manning and Jared Burke are working on setting up the sukkah this Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and they could use 3 or 4 more guys or gals to help. You can let them know directly. You can sign up at the welcome desk if you'd like to help. And also this year, we need the congregation's help in gathering and bringing palms for the sukkah. because often they're easy to find, but a lot of them have blown down. Now, if they blew down in your yard, then you've received a blessing. And you can gather those up and connect with Jared and with Steve Mowry, and they'll figure out how we can get everything here. But you can also, if you have some good palm branches that that you want to bring from your own yard, don't go into your neighbor's yard for this. But if you have some, or you see some on the side of the road and you want to get those, you can do that too. You can bring them on Sunday, because this will be Palm Sunday. Or you can bring them on Friday night or Saturday. So it'll be Palm Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that we have enough. And I hope you enjoyed that one. Yeah, I've been waiting years to find a way to work Palm Sunday into a Messianic synagogue. Yeah. Okay, I did it. It's done. And let me remind you that there are cards that are in the seat back in front of you with the rest of the holiday schedule printed on the back. And I encourage you to take one of those and give that to someone who you want to bring with you to our Sukkot celebrations, our Sukkot picnic, and the Simchat Torah celebration as well. And you can register online now for the Sukkot picnic. Rabbi?
Thank you, Rabbi David, for powerful words for us. So let's stand together and let's proceed with the beautiful ancient prayer, Avinu Malkeinu. And let's do it with all our hearts, because He is our Avinu and He is Malkeinu. He is our Father and He is our King. In this prayer, we are acknowledging the Lord as both ruler who sets the standards and the parent who loves the child. So let's pray together. Let's pray in English and we will sing in Hebrew. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us. Though we have no worthy deeds, treat us charitably with love and kindness, for you have saved us.
Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu Vahaneinu.
Start our congregation in Nikolaev, and we had people from traditional background coming to our congregation. And I remember we had the question about chicken, the blood of chicken. how to do, what to do with it. Now I'm believing Yeshua, but I came from tradition with the chicken, with the blood of chicken. And I remember we had talked, and you know, we have time together to think straight from it and to understand what it means for me that Yeshua shared his blood and he is my sacrifice, he is my atonement. And this next prayer clearly speaks about atonement, about mercy of the Lord. I want to read before from Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Do not rejoice in the fact that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. We have the reason to rejoice. So let's pray together. Let's pray in English. Remember us unto life, O King who delights in life, and inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, O Lord.
Zachreinu l'chaim, melech ha'fetz b'chaim, v'chatveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. L'man ha'elohim, l'man ha'elohim, l'man ha'elohim chaim.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, the one who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name or her name from the book of life, but I will confess their names before my Father and before his angels. We want to pray for Brenda Dorman, who's having eye surgery tomorrow. We turn in Brenda's direction. She's over in this section. Just wave to all of us, Brenda. Lord, we pray for Brenda. We pray for skillful surgery. And we pray that they'll need to do the minimal and even be surprised. Lord, we ask for your healing, for your compassion. We ask for full restoration and strength for her. You've been watching over her and protecting her. You've been renewing her physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. Lord, you give her new life. And so we pray, Lord, for her surgery, that it would go well and her recovery would be quick and complete. In Yeshua's name, amen. We'll take a 15-minute break, and then we will start our Yizkor service. We'll say Kaddish together and remember all the loved ones who have passed away. So if you want to participate in that, be in the sanctuary in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And those who are not participating, I encourage you, after you have a moment to greet each other, that you go out into the lobby or elsewhere. Let's close with Aaron's blessing.